Amen. Amen. Now, I'm walking up here with my papers, and some of you are like, oh no, he doesn't have a Bible. He has forsaken the Lord and is walking away from him. I am not. I am not forsaking the Lord. I just have so many scriptures, it was easier to print them out on my paper than it was to put tabs in my Bible and just keep flipping as fast as I possibly could. So I'm asking you, A, to forgive me, and B, to bear with me, and C, to follow me, okay? I want to talk today, I want to wrap up this whole aftermath thing. You know, we're done saying, hey, after Easter, what happened? What was going on? What's the deal? I'm kind of coming to the close of that. But there are some things that I've never heard and I've never dealt with myself, even as a pastor, and said, hey, you know what? What about this? What about dealing with this in the aftermath of Easter? What would you do with Judas in the aftermath of Easter? If you were preaching a sermon, or if you were preaching a series, and I gave you time and I said, hey, I want you to get up here and talk about Judas, what would you talk about where Judas is concerned when you look at Judas in the scope of the whole crucifixion and resurrection story that you and I get to celebrate because God is our Lord? What would you do with Judas? Well, I got to page 13 of my typing, and I determined that we really did not need a sermon that lasted till Vineyard U tonight, okay? We needed a sermon that might probably could be broken up into three different sermons, because as I was unpacking Judas and trying to just wrap my head around what was going on there, I've decided that I'm going to wrap the aftermath of Easter up with this little tiny itty-bitty sermon series called Judas's Story. So I'm not going to say for the next 3 weeks, this is what's going to happen. What I'm going to say is this week, this is what's going to happen. Next week, something else is going to happen. The week after that, I'm going to come back to this because I have a little time off here. I have to go someplace to see my oldest son. So I'm going to, before May is done, okay, I'm going to deal with three different things. I'm going to deal with Judas's betrayal. Today, I want to talk about the concept, the idea of betrayal, okay? But then when I come back for the next one, I want to talk about suicide. And I know that's not like, man, let's go to church. He's talking about suicide. That's not that, is it? But it's also not, oh, wow, can we go fishing on that day? Could we, like, go to King's Island? Could we do something? It's not that way. I want to talk about Judas, because let's just be honest, these are things that affect us all. And then the last one I want to talk about is maybe something that we don't always talk about in this church, but just, you know, like a kind of a structure issue, and that's leadership replacement. Judas was a leader, and as a result of what he chose, they ended up having to pick somebody to replace him. And how do we go about doing those kind of things in church? So I want to talk about all that before we get out of May and go right into Psalm Song, Here It Comes, Stairway to Heaven. I am picking some songs out that most of you under 30 don't ever know or hear about. But those of us, okay, that know that we are the last generation of good music that actually had a message that wasn't, I broke up with my boyfriend, okay? Then you know what I'm talking about when I say that too, don't you? Yeah, okay, that will not take place here. But that being said, but right now we want to talk about Judas. So let's just ask the Lord to be here, the Holy Spirit to overwhelm us, and let's walk into what this means for you and I today. Father. Father who is God in heaven, Lord, I know I'm the one that's just a little bit out on the wing. I'm your child that's dancing when there's no music, that's making fun when you want us to be quiet. But I'm here with you today, and I want to do what I believe you've asked me to do. And so, Holy Spirit, we just say, come. God, we're human being, children of the Most High God. We revel in your grace. We glory in your forgiveness because it's your name. And we ask and pray that you would be here today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The man. You know, I was looking at Judas as a disciple, and I just went down through some things, and I'm just going to kind of keep moving here a little bit, all right? Judas was a guy that embezzled. If you don't know this yet, just read your Bible. If all you read is the four Gospels, read that. You're going to come upon a passage that says, and time to time, Judas just happened to, you know, lift a little cash out of the offering plate, okay? Listen, every once in a while, we got some, you know, some guys that come in here, and they look a little sus, and you know, and it's like, we know that the police that go to church here, they're just like, hey, you got to watch some people. Sometimes, instead of putting money in the offering, they're taking it out of the offering, you know? Well, we fooled them, didn't we? We put the offering online. Take that out, okay? No, but still, Judas was a guy that made a habit, it would appear, according to the other disciples, to take a little out whenever he wanted to, like, you know, do something, and I don't know what did it. Judas, I honestly believe, and you'll see it in the passage here why, thought that Jesus was going to walk right through this attempt to kill him, this deal that he made, okay? I believe with all of my heart that Judas believed that Jesus was going to be like, not today, boys, not today. And he was going to walk right out. I believe that. That's why he was willing to do it. This Judas had remorse and went back and threw down the 30 pieces of silver in the face of the spiritual leaders of the day and said, I don't want your money. I thought he was going to walk right through you guys. And they said, too bad, that's not going to happen. This Judas hung himself from a tree. And while he was hanging there, his bowels burst open and spilled all over. And the leaders of Israel bought that field where he hung himself with his money, his 30 pieces of silver. Because the money could not be put in the temple treasury because it was blood money. And the only reason they know it was blood money was because they were paying Judas to help them kill, murder, assassinate, in their minds, Jesus, who came. And whether they killed, murdered, assassinated him, it didn't matter because he was going to die for your sins, one way or the other. He was going to die for your sins. In Jesus' own words, he said, it was for this reason, the crucifixion. It was for this reason that I came. And so there it was. But when I look at this, Judas betrayed Jesus. And I think, Judas, what a choice for a disciple. Man, what a piece of work this guy was. Walking with Jesus, seeing the miracles. He was sent out as one of the 12 to cast out demons, to heal people. But somewhere, and I don't think it was from the get-go, but somewhere he began to drift and begin to look for doing things his own way. So let's talk about the betrayal part of Judas today. Oscar Wilde in The Ballad of Reading Gaol says this, yet each man kills the thing he loves. By each let this be heard. Some do it with a bitter look, other with a flattering word. The coward does it with a kiss. The courageous with a sword. And what Oscar Wilde is talking about is that all of us sooner or later have been betrayed and yet maybe have been the betrayer. So as we look at Judas, we don't just automatically do like we see so many times that, oh, anytime we talk about a narcissist or a hurtful person or that, it's always over there, right? It's not me. But sometimes, now, I'm not throwing rocks here. I'm not bringing that sermon series back just yet, but I'm not throwing rocks here. I'm just saying it is okay for us to say that we're human beings and we fail. Sometimes we do throw rocks. Sometimes I have to ask forgiveness. And God knows. And he welcomes me. And sometimes when I'm crying about being betrayed, the Lord says, hey, what about you? The story of betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed? If I say betrayal in your own head, and this is not a, like everybody sound out, have you ever been betrayed? Do you immediately go, yes, and this was when, and this is the scenario, and this is the situation, and this is what in your head you're playing it back right now. God, I pray that you would bring peace into our hearts and minds. I just need us to touch that for just a second. Think about how it felt. More than that, think about how you responded. When I was thinking about the story of betrayal, the story part, I'm going to go down through it. The story part. Jesus chose Judas at the beginning. At the very beginning, Jesus chose Judas, and Judas walked with Jesus, and he laughed with Jesus, and he ate with Jesus, and he obeyed Jesus, and he preached Jesus, and he commanded demons to go out, and he came back and celebrated and got excited and said, Jesus, you should have seen the demons ran when we showed up. And even with Judas standing there with the other 11, Jesus is saying, don't be amazed that demons obey you. Be amazed that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you need to celebrate. But somewhere in there, somewhere in 3.5 years, Judas started getting greedy. Somewhere in 3.5 years, Judas was like, this isn't going the way that I want it to go. Somewhere in there, in my thinking, Judas was like, we better check this out. Because I believe that Judas appears to me to be following Jesus when it's all said and done, when he gets to the end of 3.5 years, because he wants the prominence. A teacher that for some reason people recognized, walked by and said, come follow me. And Judas, it would appear, got up and followed him. He was looking, I believe, for prominence. If I can touch Pastor Jeff's alliterations. I believe that he was looking for prominence. He wanted friends. He wanted popularity. He wanted love. I believe that he was looking for power. This guy can do things. I want to follow and learn from him. I want to follow and learn from him. So with Jesus, there's authority. There's position. There's certainly recognition. And there's purpose. There's a mission. We're on a mission. Jesus is going to be our next kick the Romans out of Israel. People believe that. And then finally, it came down to Judas, appears to me, he wanted the profits. He wanted to get ahead. He wanted to gain some money. He didn't know what was going on. And I think about this. Have you ever processed this thought out? If I say to you that Jesus called the disciples, and he called them by saying, come follow me. He called what we know to be five, I believe, fishermen. Who else did he call? Called the tax collector, didn't he? You ever wonder why Judas was the money handler and not Matthew? Because Matthew was not just a tax collector. He was not just a money handler. He was the chief tax collector. The chief money handler. See? So there's a place in here where you stop and say, man, if somebody comes into the church and joins it and their gifting is actually finances, put them on the financial advisory board. Help them help me be accountable for every dime that is spent by this church. It's their gifting, and I've got one. Man, I've got a guy that used to work for the big bank, just recently retired. He can walk in, and he sits down with a budget, and the budget's like $840,000 or $860,000 this year, and it's about 1/4 inch thick, and he can sit down at a board meeting, and he flips through it, and he slides it back and says, man, on page 22, you're 17 cents off. Why don't you just round everything up instead of just giving us the pennies? And it's like, you know just from flipping through this thing that I'm 17 cents off. And then we have to spend the next 15 minutes trying to find 17 cents and where it went south. And I'm like, I got 17 cents right here. And like my wife, he's like, it doesn't work that way. It's like, I'll put an extra 17 cents in the offering. It doesn't work that way. Why was Matthew not the money handler? A lot of people enter ministry for one of those reasons, prominence, power, or profits. And in 3 years, it would appear that as they're coming out of it, and Judas begins to believe that maybe things are winding down, he starts looking for his share. Now let's talk about the deal to betray Jesus, because that's what I want to read in the scripture today. Generally speaking, people cannot betray us if we don't let them into our hearts. They can betray us because we love them. If we did not love them, they could not betray us. See? We make ourselves vulnerable to them. And as we make ourselves vulnerable to them, we're saying, I trust you so much. And then what happens is when they betray us, it hurts so bad. Right? You're all thinking to that incident that I asked you, have you ever been betrayed? And there it is. Now, I'm going to read down through a couple of accounts to share with you the story of Judas. In the book of Luke writes this. Now, the festival of the unleavened bread, called Passover, Jesus and the Last Supper, all of that, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teacher of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus. We need to get rid of him. Everybody's going to be in Jerusalem. It's like going to New Orleans on Mardi Gras, right? That's the safest place to eliminate somebody from the planet. Because there's, you know, a police officer once said, there are so many people there, there's so much going on that nobody will see it happen. It's like, wow. Okay, I believe the same thing here. And the Pharisees or the teachers, they're like, we got to get rid of this guy. But they needed to find a way to do it because they were afraid of the people. They're afraid of the people because the people like Jesus. We got to get rid of the popular guy. Picking up in Matthew, it says, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests, the very ones that were looking for a way to get rid of Jesus, and asked, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas was watching for an opportunity to hand him over, to point him out, to say, this is the one, you guys need to take him. And then we pick up in John 13, okay? Jesus is doing the whole Last Supper thing in John 13. And Jesus answered and he said, he talks about somebody's going to betray him. And they say, Lord, Lord, who's going to betray you? And he answers, he said, it is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I've dipped it in the dish. And then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, what you are about to do, go do quickly. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him, since Judas had charge of the money. Some thought Jesus was telling him to go buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. Do not miss the point that John is making a big point here when he said, Satan entered Judas. Judas took the bread and ran out, and it was night. As soon as Judas, I'm going to mix these names up. As soon as Judas received the bread, Jesus, knowing full well what he was going to do, still loved Judas and offered him communion. It was night. And I believe it was a dark night of the soul. And I looked up dark night of the soul, and while it's a Shakespearean term, it would appear that the concept of the dark night of the soul is what happens when you come to a point in your life and you make a decision that is so heavy and so, I'll just say, negative inside of you, and you're wrestling with it, that it changes the course of the rest of your life. And this was a moment. This was such a moment. He went out to do what we would consider an abomination, a horrible thing to do to somebody. Have you ever been betrayed by somebody like that? Where you were so open, so involved. All I can think of is what it would be like in a marriage, and I don't know, and some of you do. And to come to that level of betrayal. And it's like, wow. Now listen, I honestly have no rock to throw at Judas. I don't. But I wonder how many times I went out into the night letting my Jesus down. How many times did I, and he still forgave me. You see, the enemy is always trying to get you to make a deal, to compromise. The enemy is always... In the deal of betraying Jesus, Judas did a horrible thing. But the enemy of our lives is constantly trying to get us to the place where it's okay to steal a little bit of that. It's okay to watch a little bit of that. It's okay to flirt with a little bit of that. It's okay to run around with a little bit of that. And it just takes you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Until you wonder how you got there. And most often, when we compromise the teachings of Jesus, the love of Jesus, and the person of Jesus inside of us, when we compromise that, we turn around and we say, God, how could you let us? And God's saying, if you just would have done what I said. Now listen, I've got no rock to throw. What I want to talk about today is the pain that you maybe have experienced in the midst of somebody like Judas doing something like this to you when Judas made the deal to betray Jesus. It takes us to the act of betrayal, which I kind of read for you, but it says, while Jesus was still speaking in the book of Matthew, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. He's in the garden. Okay? Judas arrives. With him was a large crowd of armed, a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer, Judas, had arranged a signal with them. The one that I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greeting, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." He still loves Judas. He called him friend in the very act of the betrayal taking place. Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. And again, I'm turning this inward just a little bit. How many different times have I acted in a manner that betrayed Jesus? And maybe not in a big way that sent him to a cross, but you know, maybe the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, I want you to stop and pray for that person." And we're like, "Oh man, is that really you, God?" And we get all the way home and we say, "Yep, it was God. Yep, next time, right?" And next time comes and we're like, "Oh, you know, I got to get to church. Jesus, I was out traveling not long ago when it was starting to sprinkle and rain. And I'm a busy man for Jesus, right? I mean, you understand that, right? So I dare not be interrupted by the world because I'm doing holy things, okay? Very holy things, okay? I think I was going to lunch that day. But it was very holy lunch. Okay, and so I got in the car, and not the one that's out there, but the truck, and I was headed down, and it was just starting to sprinkle, and there was a person that I saw back that way a little bit, walking across the parking lot, way down there, and I thought, man, they're going to get all wet, and this thought passed through my heart, yeah, maybe go give them a ride, and as I kept going, I said, yeah, maybe somebody should do that. I need to keep moving. I betrayed Jesus in that moment. And I had to ask God's forgiveness because I let him down. I saw somebody in need. I literally had a conversation with Jesus in my car and said, "No, Lord," to Jesus. And it's like, oh, God, I am sorry. Next time. And so I wonder, how many different times do we do that? We don't do what he clearly said in Scripture because, well, it might not be comfortable, right? Pray, tithe, fast, Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount stuff. We don't heed the Holy Spirit when he tells me to act and give the guy a ride, to love, to serve, to give, and to obey, and be there for my fellow man. We don't make Jesus' kingdom the joy of my life, to learn, to tell, to teach. When was the last time you baptized somebody? You know. Just wrestle with it, you know, for a second. It's like, oh, man. On the other hand, none of us have walked up to Jesus, kissed him on the mouth, stepped back, and let him get arrested and watch him get crucified. But we still fall short. And I'm not here to beat us up for it. I don't want to do that. I'm here to celebrate that Jesus Christ saved my soul and ask him to say, "Lord, you're going to have to keep speaking louder to me, okay, because I'm your dumb kid, okay? That's me. That's Joe, okay? I'm going to take math again in 1 Corinthians, you know, 1. I'm going to do it all over again, okay? Because I didn't get it right in the Gospels. So let's do this thing. And we need to do that. And so we need to keep doing. And then there's remorse. Then we see a remorse for his betrayal in Judas's life. Have you ever had the remorse? Yes, I had the remorse. I was like, "God, please, I'm sorry. You know, you got to speak a little louder to me. I just went through all that." But in the book of Matthew, it says, when Judas had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned. You say, "Pastor Joe, why do you think Judas expected Jesus to walk out through the crowd?" Because when he saw that Jesus was condemned, when it didn't go that way, he was filled with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. See, when he realized Jesus wasn't going to get away this time, He didn't want anything to do with it. And he tried to take the money back. He said, I've sinned, he said, for I've betrayed innocent blood. And they said, who cares? What does that have to do with us? That's your responsibility. That is on you, dude. Yo. So Judas threw the money down in the temple and left and went straight away and he hung himself. I wonder how this would have unfolded if Judas, instead of hanging himself, would have run back to Jesus and would have told him, I made a deal and I was wrong. Please forgive me. I wonder if then Jesus wouldn't have prayed to his father and said, I haven't lost any except the one doomed to destruction. If Judas just would have gone back, I know the story would have been the same. They would arrest him. They would hang him. But, you know, it's just like, but what if he would have sat down and had a conversation with Jesus and said, Lord, I screwed up bad. And Jesus would have said something like, listen, you don't understand. That's the role that you were to play in this. A little bit of leadership insight. See, Judas couldn't open up his soul. He was afraid people would know who he is or that he wasn't perfect. I keep seeing these things online about pastors, and I don't want to post them because it's like I don't want everybody's pity. Every once in a while, something needs to be posted that I think is appropriate for all of us to read. But, you know, pastors don't let their guard down. They don't. They can't let their guard down. They keep walls up for self-protection. They can lower it a little bit in a crowd with certain people, but they have got to be so careful. Pastors aren't often allowed to be people or to have friends or to struggle. They can relax a little bit, but not a lot. I often will not tell people that I meet that are new to me that I'm the pastor. Not here in church. I'm just talking about in the crowd. I don't often tell them. I was at a softball game yesterday, and a friend of mine happened to be working in the dirt, and we were jabbering back and forth, and I was trying to see what it took to get thrown out of the softball game. I just wanted to make the newspaper, and the couple behind me were laughing a little bit, and I said, it's okay. We go to church together. I didn't say I'm her pastor. Because as soon as I do, people treat me different. It's not just me. It's not just pastors. People treat us different. They won't allow us to be just people. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I don't want to say that's wrong at all. Keep holding us accountable. I'm just saying sometimes there needs to be those places where the Judases can stop and say, God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And so we do that. That's why in polls, pastors tend to define themselves as very lonely, because they've got to be careful. I've got a birthday card from a guy in a church that I once pastored, and it's one of those, I'll have your back, I'll never let you go, don't worry about it, I'm always there for you. And for a small season, I began to let my guard down. And then sure enough, I came to know what King David said when he wrote, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it in Psalm 55. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked around among the worshipers. And this is David, and it's largely understood theologically that he was talking about Ahithophel. Ahithophel was one of his trusted advisors. But he also switched teams and joined his son Absalom, who threw him out of the kingdom. And he's like, I can't believe you stabbed me in the back, Ahithophel. I trusted you. I opened up my soul to you. You know everything about me. It's there. It's difficult. Psalm 55 in Jerome's Latin manuscripts, this whole psalm is titled, The Voice of Christ Against the Chiefs of the Jews and the Traitor Judas. That's how Jerome from antiquity defined Psalm 55 in the passage that he translated. I cannot imagine Jesus loving Judas so much and hurting so bad for what he was doing to the relationship between them, betraying him. Knowing what Judas was about to do, knowing how expensive it was going to be for Judas, Jesus knew Judas was going to kill himself. He knew that. Called him friend. And I know it hurt him. I know it hurt Jesus. And I know Jesus was wishing Judas would just sit down and talk it out and work it out and process it out. All the things that you and I are told to do by our therapist. Go see a therapist, by the way. Listen, some of you need one. Some of you just need to get comfortable with one because you're going to need one, okay? We're human beings. We all need a good therapist just to bounce some things off of when we're struggling, if it's bigger than what the pastor can do for us. Jesus loved Judas in the midst of all of that so much that he died on a cross for him. Jesus did it better than me. He always does it better than me. He handled rejection way better than me. So how do we respond to betrayal? Wrapping it up, we're called to sit down in person, one-on-one. That's what the Bible tells us to do. You go to a person one-on-one. We're a lot more civil in person than we are behind a keyboard. We are. Yeah, I it's like, oh Lord, don't push send. I don't want to talk about it in heaven. I don't. But we're a lot more civil. But it's okay for us to stop and go to somebody, but we've got to be able to define the betrayal, define the hurt. And we've got to be able to say, I failed, you failed, and our relationship failed, and that's what I'm hurting about. I'm hurting about this fact right here. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and therefore remember that your brother or sister has something against you, put your offering down at the front of the altar, and then run and be reconciled to them, and then come back and offer your gift. And it's just the idea that you're supposed to do, in as much as it lies within you, be at peace with all men, which means, in as much as it lies within you, you've tried to do everything you can to get together face-to-face, one-on-one, to sit down and to work it out and to not live with that betrayal haunting you, eating at you. Betrayal is a bitter, bitter, bitter thing that takes years off your life if you stew in it. It does. It will rob you. It will steal from you. It will hurt you. It will literally make you physically sick. And that's why God doesn't want us to be that way. So the first thing we're called to do is sit down one-on-one in person. Secondly, we have to have a goal for that conversation. What's your goal for the conversation? If your goal to sit down and discuss that betrayal, that hurt, that pain, is so that you can win the conversation, you've lost already. Let the reason to sit down be to be understood and to understand why, what happened. Let understanding be the reason. Restoration is a theme of Christianity. When you show up, what do you expect to happen in that meeting? Hopefully, you'll just do an emotional drive-by and you'll just dump it all out on the table and there it is. No. I hope to win the argument. No. Scripture says, brothers and sisters, if somebody's caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. Be specific about the hurt. Be honest about your part. Listen as well as talk. What happened from your perspective, because there's always two, okay? And what is heard and how it is heard is as important as what is said. Intonation and body language accounts for 70% of communication. The words are only 30%. And the last thing is that we need to move forward in forgiveness. It's an expectation from the kingdom of heaven. It is an actual expectation from the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 6, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's a lot that I don't understand in that theologically, but it's a call for you and I to live forgiving people generously, not because they deserve it, but because we don't deserve to carry it. We deserve to let it go. Forgiveness is not pretending that it didn't happen. Forgiveness is not never bringing it up again. Forgiveness is not ever excusing it. You never excuse it. That's why you have the one-on-one. We must forgive the offense, look the person in the eye, and if we're going to let go of it, the most powerful thing you can do is look that person in the eye and say, I forgive you, and let them have it. Put them in God's hands. You will be surprised when you're saying to me, it keeps being regurgitated inside of my soul, then that's the time, every single time, to say to God, God, I need to let this go, and to pray out loud, God, I put them in your hands. I need to forgive them. Please forgive them and move on. I had somebody tell me one time that forgiveness is you doing that every time it comes to your heart, and the more times you pray out loud to forgive them and for God to be in charge and to bless them, the more you will decide that you don't want to keep praying for these people and you'll stop letting it come up in your heart. But let's just be honest. Some things are a journey. They're not just something that happens. Every time you want to retell your story to get people on your side, that's when we need to forgive people again and confess and repent. Forgiveness is willing to re-engage, but in a new way. New and different relationship with boundaries, big boundaries, big boundaries. Or no relationship at all, forgiveness has been given, move away from that. It's not going to change. Be aware of that. So as we gather together, I wonder, have you been betrayed by a friend? And you recognize the hurt of Jesus coming down here and trying to let you know he knows that betrayal. He knows that betrayal. Judas betrayed him. He looked right at him right there. What you do, go do quickly, friend. Do what you do quickly, friend. And we're called to let go of it and move past it. You know why? Because God wants us to find healing. He wants us to find love. He wants us to find compassion. Let God bring that to the other person. But he wants us to do that. Move forward. Let go of it. Have you been betrayed by a spouse? I can't wrap my head around that, but it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean you didn't go through it. But I can only imagine that that hurts so bad. Sometimes we're like, God, I just need you to reach in, put some balm, B-A-L-M, on that again. Some balm. Maybe as a young person, you were betrayed by somebody that was supposed to protect you and love you and care for you. And you're like, but this happened. How could they let that happen? And today is a day where we need to set it down at the feet of Jesus, because my Jesus loves you so much that he wants to carry that for you so you don't have to anymore. And so this is that day. So I want to invite you to come to your feet. And we're going to go into this song. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into this song. And we're going to talk about Jesus and what he wants to do for you today. Father, as we come before you, we thank you and we praise you for the fact that you know everything that we go through. You've experienced that you are so much of a better God because you have been tempted in every way just as we are, and yet you were without sin. Teach us, O Lord God, to continue to move forward, embracing what you have for us in Jesus' name. These people are up here to pray for you, to help you lay a burden down. And so I would encourage you, if there is a place where you say, yes, that touched my burden, come up here and lay it down. It doesn't have to be one of the qualifications that I gave. Your betrayal may be something totally different, but it is time for you to embrace a new life that doesn't carry that baggage, because Jesus has something in store for you as we move forward. So as we go into this song, you just move forward. These people want to pray for you.